You are listening to episode number 83 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Raise them high. Episode number 83 of the Mighty Warriors podcast. Yes, 83 episodes. Hard to believe it's been that long. But let's get the formalities out of the way. I am your always competent host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me tonight from New York City, Arnold.
Yo.
And also reigning from New York City, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Hello.
And before we get off into even more depressing news, we didn't get to do this last time, but... A moment of our thoughts go to Joe Frazier, famous boxer. Of course, you may know when he fought Muhammad Ali, Thriller in Manila. I didn't say this last time, and I was really annoyed that I didn't. So, rest in peace, Joe Frazier. Sports fans and all fans of your life, wish you and your family well into the afterlife, because we're all Egyptian apparently. Anyways, because I botched that, let's get right into it. Now, we all know under President Obama that we have suffered. The whole world's in a shit toilet right now. People losing their jobs. Certain Marvel editors have lost their jobs. But it seems recently that Marvel Comics has canceled a shit ton of titles. I think, what was it, Arnold? Like, what, three in the last couple of days?
You know, probably, but like four in a row at least.
Yeah, it was. Like, we've seen Marvel cancel books. Like, I think we've done a previous episode where we talked about like how mid-list books in Marvel don't last, and you know, maybe there just isn't a market for them. But even them, this is for unnatural. This is a little unnatural. So, courtesy of ICV2, who gets the numbers from Diamond, and again, these are the Diamond numbers. These aren't the official numbers, and we're never going to get the official numbers. I want to preface this by saying this is purely speculation on our part on why do we think, is Marvel Comics in trouble? Because Taser talked to me before show, should we talk about this? I didn't want to. I didn't want to talk about something like this on a show because I kind of want to keep this content lighthearted. Too many shows or too many things I see out there focused on negativity. And while we do rant sometimes, I would like to think we do that in the earnest because we're fanboys and it's funny. Not something as depressing as people losing their jobs as editors or books being canceled, which means those people have lost their jobs. So without further ado, the canceled books, X-23, which at the last rate sold 24,043 copies. Ghost Rider, 21,012 copies. Alpha Flight, 20,731 copies. Dokken, 19,472 copies. Black Panther, 18,248 copies. Iron Man 2.0, these are September numbers, 15,600 copies. Herc, 13,990 copies. And, of course, Destroyers and Victor Von Doom, the miniseries, the two miniseries that were going to come out last year. We talked about them last week, so they weren't even solicited. They already canceled. And here are some other interesting facts, some other books that could be on the cancellations list. Deadpool Max, but I wouldn't count this because it's a finite series. The most they could do is shorten the length of the miniseries, which they've done with here Villains for Hire. It was originally a 5-issue miniseries, now it's a 4-issue miniseries. But Deadpool Max at 15,865 copies. Generation Hope at 18,424 copies. Shield number 2 is in this, volume 2. But again, that's only a 6-issue. So they could either A, shorten it, or so I don't think they're going to cancel it because it's finite. Avengers Academy at 23,412 copies. And these two are apparently safe, the next two I'm going to mention. Thunderbolts, which is selling 23,712 copies, and X-Factor. Oh. And X-Factor is selling 23,569 copies. But according to Marvel editor Tom Brevoort, those books are apparently safe, whatever that means. So we have to ask the question now. Is Marvel in trouble? Because now we're seeing it where they're launching. People are losing their jobs. And let me preface this again by saying this is just one aspect of the company, because according to Rob Liefeld and some other sources, that their toy division and their advertising, that's all doing fine. The movies is doing fine. They're making buttloads of money. It's the publishing division we're focusing on. And I think, you know, one, it's a tough economy, so that has to do with it. Two is the fact that our comics market is a lot, you know, I've talked about this incessantly, but it's a lot smaller than it has been in the past. And that the fact is, most consumers are going to pick the book with the Spider-Man, with the X-Men, you know, the core characters, the Avengers, even though that didn't even make the top 25, from my understanding, the last time. And of course, we just relaunched Incredible Hulk. They launched Wolverine the X-Men. We're going to get another Avengers title by Bendis in March. The Defenders, which even then I'm not hopeful that long that's going to last, because, come on, Taser knows this better than I, that how long, when was the last time Doctor Strange or any Defenders book lasted any for a significant amount of time? Also, I forgot Punisher Max's ending, too, so we're all affected. So let's go to y'all, because I'm talking way too much. Arnold, do you think Marvel's in trouble? I mean, do you think this is a sign that, you know, something's... Are they in trouble? Because I'm at a loss for words right now.
Oh, I don't know. It's always hard to speculate with stuff like that. Immediately, that's what people always think when, you know, books start getting canceled and changed and all of that, is immediately, oh, they're not making any money, or, you know, that's just the first place people's minds go. I'm sure that plays a factor into it as well. I'm just more... You know, a lot of the books that are being canceled, I will say that I'm honestly not reading, with the exception of X-23, which I'm definitely upset about. And then it's funny to hear that X-23 is canceled, and then she's being moved to Avengers Academy, yet that book is also on the chopping block.
Just going by the numbers again, this is all pure speculation.
Right, no, I'm just saying, yeah, but like, if they say it on there that it's potentially on the chopping block, but that one is not doing too well either, so that could be the next one. So you canceled a girl from her book, put her in another book that may potentially be canceled down the road, too. But it is the way of business. Cancellations and book endings, they happen all the time, whether it be for money or for art teams or creative differences, whatever the case may be. The one thing that does upset me about it, though, is when characters that had their own books, or groups that had their own books, so to speak, like, you know, Laura, or like T'Challa in the Man Without Fear book, or Punisher and stuff,
I heard the Black Panther book was good.
I bet. I honestly, I wasn't reading it. It's another one I just didn't pick up, not necessarily because of lack of interest, but just for fun, of course. What I do hate is, like, especially maybe more with solo characters, is when their book ends and they're kind of just folded back into the universe at large or the group at large. Mm-hmm. Any of that kind of character development that was already done has been more often than not ignored, and they cease to get any more after that, which is kind of upsetting. Like, they forget all of the things that happened in their said solo books that should develop the character, and then it just goes nowhere. So we'll see. Honestly, again, like I said, the only book out of all the ones that are being canceled that I was reading was X-23. So Lord knows where she's going to end up.
I think Avengers Academy is safe because, one, it is an Avengers book, and people will order it just because it has Avengers on it, and right. Two, there's that movie coming out in May that we're all looking forward to, and that's gonna not.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm not picking up Avengers Academy. Avengers movie will help to further the pickup career of the new Avengers comic that's coming out. That has, oh, surprise, surprise, the team is made up of all the people that are in the movie.
Yeah,
who should buy that?
Which, to me, before I go to you, Taser, which to me makes no sense. Because by doing this Avengers Assemble title, you make the regular Avengers book, the Avengers, which you're going to talk about it later, Arnold, redundant now. Because the new Avengers is supposed to be the scrappy team, you know, Luke Cage's way.
No.
The Avengers team is supposed to be, you know, the premier superhero team. And then why do you need another one, you know?
Because Marvel plays business when they figure
I mean, I know that from an economically wise, but from a story standpoint, it doesn't make any sense to need this.
Right.
You know, I mean...
See, but they're not worried about that, because they're more worried...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay, I'm like, they're not worried about that. They're worried about Joe Schmo, who's going to come out of the movie theater after seeing the Avengers, potentially go to a comic book shop and say, huh, Avengers number 20 or Avengers number 1 that has all the people that I just saw on the cover? I'm going to pick up Avengers number 1.
See, that's the thing is, though, like, we're in almost 11 years into this where superhero movies have been made, and while there's been a lot of bad ones, there have been a lot of good ones, especially this summer, sparring a certain Green Ring one. The numbers that those movies are generating are not translating to people going to the comic shops. It's even because this isn't the first time Marvel's done this. They relaunched Iron Man for the Iron Man movie, and that was a smart move. And I know a lot of people jumped on the Iron Man with that. But very few new readers, and I'm talking about like me in 2006 when I first discovered the comic store and started going as a regular reader. The movies just aren't generating as much as they do. So to me, it doesn't make it, like, I admire them for trying, but if they're going to do it, why does Bendis have to write it? Like, I like him just as much as the next guy. I'm a fan of his work, but he doesn't need to be writing another Avengers title. But Taser, you obviously lived, maybe you weren't reading Marvel during the dark times, but you remember when Marvel was declared bankruptcy in, what was it, 97, 98? obviously, I don't think they're at that point. Even when they were at that point, they were still publishing comics. But that was their entire situation as a whole. It seems to me this is just the publishing side. So, let me ask you the question: do you think Marvel is in trouble?
Well, first and foremost, let me get this off my chest. Fuck Marvel. Okay, there you go. As for their financial stability, you know, in regards to their publishing wing, I think they're just trying to restructure. they're freeing up resources and they're trying to restructure things. They're probably going to make a few moves, a few interesting moves in the near future. Couldn't tell you what they're going to be. But based upon them having, you know, picked up, you know, a whole digital distribution thing, I have no idea how that's working out for them, because, well, I don't pay for digital stuff, and I haven't seen any numbers that reflects how that end is doing. It's not too unheard of to see a publisher start dropping titles that sell low. It's kind of, you know, interesting to watch one company do it to a whole slew of books at once, you know, and then start cutting, what was it, editors and a couple of writers, I think, you know. Like you had said earlier, I think a lot of it is probably just, you know, a whole lot of belt tightening. I don't know. There's so many question marks and supposedlies that you could, you know, pull from this. I really don't know how to address that. The company's not going under. They're not about to declare bankruptcy. So, you know, I haven't seen any indications of it. So that's, you know, we're safe on that end.
Based on just assuming from what the movies made and the toys. And advertising.
Well, see, you know, here's the rub with that. Like in the 90s, with the guy who was the president of Marvel, he tried to get slick and thought, hey, people are loving X-Men, and, you know, people are loving Wolverine. Wolverine will save the day. And then, you know, Ghost Rider's in everything. And, hey, toy biz, toys. Everybody likes toys and cards. We want cards. Cards sell and toys sell and foil covers and everything. And you know what? We can even handle our own distribution. Yeah, Marvel will do this and we'll hold all. It'll be all profit. But you know what? They fucked it all up. You know? They botched the distribution thing. They overextended themselves with the toys. I couldn't tell you about the cards because I didn't really pay attention. Cards suck. And, you know, if you like cards, well, you suck. You can, you know, quote me on that. Bite me. they just, you know, their reach exceeded their grasp in that regard, and they paid for it, you know, when they ended up having to declare bankruptcy. I don't think that's what's happening here. I'm not getting that feeling yet. I think it's just, you know, a sign of the times. I also think that some of this is coming from Disney, because they got purchased by them. They sold out. Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. They sold out to them not too long ago. I think Disney was like, let's see how far they go. And, yeah, now let's start making some changes. I do think that because
– I think that's a bit of a
– Look, like, Disney's evil. Stop taking this from me. Disney is evil. We all know that.
Tangled. They can't be evil. I think if it was
Warner
a movie –
Warner Brothers did the same thing to freaking DC. So – it's not unheard of. When
no,
you have...
I just don't think they would care. Like Disney would care that much about the publishing aspect of it. Like
no, because
like,
you're looking at.
I think it's the salespeople at Marvel who are making like, hey, we need to cancel these books. They're not making the same money.
No,
I don't think Disney would put too much stake in it. They just care because they can.
I think Disney. You know, I think they got a couple people that just kind of. Yeah, you know, we really don't like the way this is working, and I think y'all need to start making some changes. Not going to tell you what to do, but yeah, you need to start making. Yeah, let's do this. Maybe we want to try that, and let's cut that, you know. Let's trim some of the chaff. Trim some of that fat. You know, nobody likes fat. Unfortunately, I mean, look at the books that they're cutting, though. A lot of them, you know, are selling under fucking $20,000 a month. So, you know, that's not unheard of. It's just unheard of for them to cut as much as they're doing in so short a period of time. If this was spaced out over a period of, like, let's say 6 to 8 months.
Or a year. It's not.
Or
it's,
a year.
Nobody bats an eye.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, it's getting done, you know, at once. You know, they're moving quick. I don't know. It's hard to say beyond you know, Disney's evil and there's really nothing concrete. The only thing you can actually say is more than likely it's just the economy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing else to really point at and say, you know, yeah, this is the reason why, that's the reason why, whatever.
Okay.
Just still all speculation.
All right, so as you can see, we're all speculating on the future of Marvel. I guess just expect a shit ton of X-Men books, a shit ton of Spider-Man books, double shipping on Wolverine books, a lot of Iron Man books. So, I mean, that's where we're getting. I think Taser lead it to the right way. They're going to be more conservative about what they put out. You know, maybe I don't know. Fucking spider clones in Texas. God damn it, Marvel hates me.
Woo!
Anyways,
Well, you know what? I'll say this, though. It's a shame that a lot of the stuff that's getting cut, you know, are the stuff that's not tied in directly to, you know, Avengers, Spider-Man, or X-Men. You know, like Alpha Flight and, you know, let's say Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
The peripheral stuff is the stuff I want to see because I'm not tied into, let's say, the big three groups. You know, I like seeing, you know, that stuff that's out there, you know, that's, you know, just that's on a different bend, you know, not necessarily directly attached to one of those three. But, you know, unfortunately, comics are funny like that. You know, you can't be too different. You know, it's hard to be different and find an audience and have a,
especially such a small selective audience that wants only a certain thing.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. You know,
granted, my buying habits are a lot different, but in terms of what people expect from the big do, you know, not a lot of people. I mean, I remember and it really rolled my eyes when I heard this. Like, I don't want to buy X-23. I don't want to read about a female Wolverine. I'm like, oh God, she's fucking more than that. Try the damn book before you like. I know I did before I gave up on it. Either way.
Oh, let it be known that with the cancellation of X-23, there is now no single female flagship.
So I want all these bitches who were bitching at DC earlier in fucking summer, Batman or Batgirl, whatever the fuck your name is, come at Marvel, please, because I have not heard your ass once. Please, I am sick of you feminist bitches going at DC for all.
Whoa,
bitches, bitches.
No, that's how you really feel now.
Please, I don't like feminism. Please, come after Marvel. I haven't heard them speak once. Well, enough of the depressing news and me hating on women all around. Let's go to our book of the week, which was a gamma irradiated fun with Incredible Hulk number 2, written by Jason Aaron and art by a shit ton of people from Top Cow and Mark Silvestri's best friend.
So, image in effect.
So in this issue, we get that Bruce Banner is really on drug dependency. He needs Hulk to survive. He wants the Hulk back, despite that he has a hot. That's what I found funny. The funniest thing about this issue is that Bruce Banner says he has nothing to live for. Really? Look at Betty Ross over there. She's a pretty nice piece of ass. So it turns out Bruce Banner is trying to recreate the Hulk. That's his goal, to get back with something that he's lost. Sort of reminds me of somebody dependency on drugs. You want that high, which I guess you can clarify going the Hulk is a high, but Bruce, I mean, this is the first time I've seen Bruce ever want to need it. And of course, we got the Hulk fighting, you know, big gamma-irradiated sharks that knocked over a fucking battleship, which was fun.
It's an Ang Lee movie.
Yes, it is.
So
you probably loved it.
I loved bearded Hulk. I love this look. And the fact, like, it's like, you're so stupid. You're stupid. Puny human stupid. You know, I kind of wish Hulk was a little bit dumber, but I don't mind. He's not a cerebral. No. But, you know, it's fun. The only criticism of this issue, and it's a big criticism, is the art, obviously. Even though the cover just says Jason Aaron, Mark Silvestri, it's, well, let me get, how many people does it say is on this damn book? I know Mark Silvestri, Will Spartacio, Billy Tan. God damn it, where is that issue? I do not have that issue anymore. Shit. Regardless, it was... Oh, here it is. Let's see, here it is. Mark Silvestri with Will Spartacio and Billy Tan on pencils. Michael Broussard and Eric Basaluta, pencil assist. They're some of the people who work at Top Cow. Scott Hanna on finishes. Joe Weems with Rick Basula, Jay Leaston, Don Ho, and Crime Lab Syndicate inkers.
Don Ho from Hawaii 5-0?
I think so. It'd be crazy. He got fired as a cop, so now he's working it as a comic book inker. So he's paying his bills. So yeah, and I want to clarify this before people bash on Silvestri. The reason I believe they have this many pencilers is because he had ankle surgery so they needed
What's
to.
What's his ankles got to do with his hands?
He was hospitalized.
He had to be rushed to the hospital.
And he could have worked in the bed.
He's old.
All he needed is a solid board, some pencils and paper. Boom, that's it. Get his ass to work. No excuses.
He got his image friends. He got his image friend and his Top Cow buddy and his Top Cow employees to work for him. So that's the biggest disappointment, is that, like, I bought this book for Silvestri and I got one or two pages of Silvestri and then like a couple of people who look like Silvestri and then fugly pages by Will Spartacio and Billy Tan, so it didn't help. but I'm interested to see where this goes next. Plus, for whatever reason, I want to see Hulk beat the ever-living shit out of Banner. You know, I don't know why. I just do. So, and I give it a 2.9, only because, and it would be higher because I like the story, but the art was just, you know, because Silvestri was in the hospital, so inconsistent, so damaging that I hope Silvestri is going to be drawing more. Then again, he didn't even draw a lot of the last issue. Michael Broussard did pencil assist on the last issue, so take it at that. Silvestri can't draw a full book anymore. Taser, you were there when Silvestri first started to become popular. Now he's back. What did you think of this issue?
I took note of who was supposed to work in the book, and as soon as I saw more than two names, I just kind of went, okay, art's not really going to be that important to me. Well, it never really is, but the story... Okay, I didn't read the issue previous to this one, the first one, but it's interesting to note that they kind of went from whatever Banner and Betty were doing before Fear Itself to them trying to make it go afterward, but Banner being so obsessed with, you know, getting Hulk back that, you know, he just goes, "But Betty, I love you," and you know, freaking dumbass goes, "Excuse me, sir, I'm over here, sir. Don't ignore me. Look, I got the things, sir. Hey, remember, you wanted me to bring the things." sir. And he's like, no, no, this isn't really good. Really? Because you asked me to bring these. You.
I mean, with the items that are going to ruin your relationship? You told me to meet you here at this time.
Yeah, this guy had to be one of the either the cruelest person on the planet or simply the clueless. Because you could see that this guy was trying to placate, you know, his babe. And he's going, hey, don't ignore me. Look, I got stuff. Remember the stuff? The stuff! You know, you could just see Banner go, God, if only I could turn into Hulk. But yeah, so of course he pisses off Betty, she bounces, and it turns out that Banner is now obsessed with, you know, either bringing the Hulk back out or re-merging with him. Why? I have no freaking clue, because for, what, the last 90 years, Banner has been trying to do everything he could to kill him. Here, the hook is... The Hulk extricated himself and kind of went, yeah, leave me alone, okay? Get the fuck out. And Banner goes, no, no, I can't live without you. Don't leave me. Really? Is this what we're doing? Really?
I don't know how to smash without you.
You know? How do I live without you? I want to try. But, you know, I laughed at it. Because in the, what was it, the write-up just before the first page of art, they also talk about how this has never happened before. I distinctly remember it happening before, and it was killing both of them back when they had the Hulkbusters. You know, you had mindless, rampaging, savage Hulk running around Nevada, and you had sickly, and this was drawn by Byrne, sickly Hulk with a bunch of government specialists, and it was two different, they were separated. But, of course, this is new Marvel. Shit didn't happen, and, you know,
what's people old is new again, kind
of SOL. It was interesting. I thought it was funny that Hulk grows hair now.
Yes.
Okay, I that was the first one to me, because I'm saying to myself, so what did he do all those other times he was Hulk for a long time? Did he just keep cutting it, or did it not grow? Because I didn't read a whole lot of Planet Hulk, but he was always Hulk then. So what happened then? I mean,
he's rocking the no shave. He's rocking the no shave November.
Yeah. Okay. So then I thought this was interesting, and then that woman, you know, she's like, "Oh, I'm not Doom, but I am a Doom," and you know, and these are my cult compatriots, and I'm like, "Hey, look, it's Rick Schroeder." And they get attacked by the sharks, and, you know, he's, you know, one-shot and everything. And he's like, okay, yeah, you had your fun. Don't find me again, or I'm fucking all of you up. And then he bounces. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And the chick, you know, immediately pops a boner. And then Banner is off in his cavern going, yes, I must find my precious. Go, my pets, go and find them. And he has the pet boars. He turned into Dr. Moreau. I mean, really, that was just like...
They made that reference in the book.
Yeah, you know, it's like, really, he went there. Somebody recently looked at Ang Lee's movie and said, hey, you know what, there's some stuff we can work with here. And, yeah, the book ended. if I were interested in reading Hulk, because I'm still not, this was an interesting read. It wasn't a bad book by any means. It was kinetic. It was funny. You know, you got to see Hulk break some stuff. Not a whole lot. You got to see Hulk speak perfect English, which I liked and despised at the same time, because I'm not used to Hulk going, hey, listen, leave me alone. I don't want to bother with you people. I'm used to, leave Hulk. Arrgh. You stupid, leave Hulk. I'm used to that. This Hulk is coherent, capable. I respect it. You know, this is a Hulk I would definitely back away from rather than just to go, guy. I could recommend this book to somebody who wanted to read Hulk and just coming in, because in comics, you really don't have to go, you know, oh, I got to pick up this and pick up that to get into this. No, you don't have to. Most stuff, it doesn't matter. But for me, I'm still not interested in Hulk. You know. That being said, this was a decent book. You know, I would give it a 3.8 Warriors out of 5. I enjoyed it. You know, I wouldn't pick up the next issue, but I enjoyed what I read.
Unless I make it to the book of the week. Even then, you won't.
You suck.
Yes, I do. Speaking of sucking, Arnold.
That was
thank you, Taser, for that setup. Arnold, what did you think of Incredible Hulk number 2?
It was a cool book. Right off the bat, I'm just, because I've said it on this show numerous times, I'm definitely glad we have a Hulk that is competent and isn't just like a bumbling idiot or just, you know, couple of verbs here and there to try and make that count as a sentence. Like, he's got a brain in there. It's working. Like, there's stuff going on. There's fire burning. So I'm really, really happy about that. I'm glad it's not just idiot rampaging Hulk just going around all over the place. And, yeah, a lot of this, like I said, what's old is new again, because I do feel like this has happened before, and as Taser gave the actual example, where I'm like, wait, I'm pretty sure that they've split up before. I haven't read much Hulk, but I'm pretty sure that they've split into two different entities beforehand. So, yeah, it was cool. I didn't hate it. There's very little that draws me to the Hulk. I think the last time I read anything Hulk-related was World War Hulk, which made me want to go back and read Planet Hulk, but that's kind of where my interest kind of ended.
Go ahead, review, then I'll plug.
Oh, okay. Again, a lot of it is just, it's a big mystery to me with Hulk, just in terms of where he is story-wise and character-wise and what's been going on with him and everything. I'm just really lost because, I haven't been reading his books. I know little bits here and there about the Red Hulks running around and Betty being a Red Hulk, et cetera, et cetera. The art was cool. All in all, I'll give it like a 2.5 out of 3. It wasn't terrible, but nothing that's making me wish I want to run out and go and backtrack through all of it or go pick it up at the store from now on.
All right, well, I'll say this about, because I know I'm going to get victimized for demonized for this, but I love Jeff Loeb's run on Hulk with the Red Hulk, just because it was so fucking insane and so crazy that you just have fun with it. And I don't know if you like that, because Hulk in there is kind of an idiot. He says only a couple of things, like Hulk's strongest one there is, Hulk smash puny Red Hulk. Even though Red Hulk is cerebral, but it's a fun story. So if you're looking for more Hulk stories, I mean, there's Greg Pak's run, Peter. I think Taser's, you know, he was about 25 when it started happening. Peter David's run on the Hulk, which
Peter David's run.
Yeah,
I
was trying to make an old man joke, but whatever.
I read a little bit of Peter David's run on Hulk, and that's some of the Hulk that I liked.
Yeah, he. I mean, Peter David pretty much did the be-end end-all for Hulk, much like Frank Miller did the Daredevil back in the 80s. But I digress. You want to go read more Hulk, go to fucking library and run a book. Anyways, let's move on to individual reviews from one 90s character to another with me with Venom number 9. Hard to believe this book is less than 9 issues, and it's still really good. Last issue, we learned about the death of Flash Thompson's dad. This issue was, I would think he was dealing with a little bit of anger and denial in terms of the 5 stages of grief process. It's right after the aftermath of Spider Island, and there's this fucking nobody in a tank just robbing banks, running over people, killing innocents, and of course Venom gets involved. It's a civic duty. But of course,
he's not nobody, he's Tank Guy!
Fuck that guy. So he's running, and of course Venom has to do his civic duty to protect the people, but while he's doing that, he's also dealing with the fact he's running over families. So while Venom's seeing that, he's running through his head, it's like they're never going to get to see this event or that event, you know, of a child's life, or of a father and a son, or a daughter and a mother can experience, or a family can experience. So he basically, for the first time in a while that I can remember, he just loses it. And he fucking Venoms out, as I'm going to call it. This is the first time we've seen the big hulking Venom in this series for a constant. He basically comes out. The guy thinks he stops him. Venom absorbs into the tank. Then proceeds to deliver probably one of the more brutal killings I've seen in a while. In that he slices his guts open. breaks his fingers, not just like leaves nothing, like there's no fingers.
No, hold on. Let me rephrase that. I have to. He crushed his fingers, but you see the fingers still there. However, who was the artist on this book?
Stefano Caselli.
Okay, Stefano Caselli, he drew some kind of effect where it looked like his hands were smoking after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at it. Like, what the hell was that all about? His hands weren't dripping blood or anything. They were crushed. He said, "You crushed my hands," and then it looked like he set them on fire. It's the funniest thing I saw in the book. And with all the death and everything else, especially what happens to the guy, I just kind of kept going, "What the hell is this?"
So, anyways, Venom then proceeds to beat the shit out of him, makes him his bitch, like beg in his Venom voice, and then bites his head off and spits it out.
Ah.
And of course, Flash is like disgusted that he did this, you know, and he's tormented, and you know, Betty rereads him the letter that his dad sent. So this is a very interesting issue, and I think could lead somewhere. The fact that Flash isn't under control, that he hasn't accepted about his father's death, and of course how long can you be affected by the symbiote and not consistently do that, you know? I mean, obviously...
Well, look, he was able to pull it back.
No, he was, but, like, I'm interested to see, like, how long can he keep it under control? I mean, especially how hot-headed it is and how emotionally he can get, like... I'm interested to see how long... That's the interesting part of me is that... Interesting part of this is, like, how long can Flash hold on? Because that Venom, that symbiote taints you. You know, as any comics fans who've ever read a story with the symbiotes, especially the Venom one, that shit changes you, you know? Or it's supposed
Maybe
to.
Maybe Flash Thompson is a fan of Good Charlotte, you know, because they had that song, "Holding On, If You Feel Like Letting Go." There you go. I just had that.
Fuck Good Charlotte. So, yeah, I mean, this was just perfect, and it felt to me, it felt like the right thing to do after the death of his father in Spider Island, all that nonsense. You know, and the fact that he's going to take his anger out on a nobody. You know, he even said to himself, "I could easily turn this guy in. I don't have to do this." No, the monster in himself, at least. And, you know, so yeah, I want to know where Remender's going to go with this next, especially since Venom's apparently going to join the Secret Avengers and become, like, how's that going to work out? Can you really trust this guy? You know, not necessarily Flash Thompson, but the Flash Thompson underneath the symbiote. How long can you trust him? Solid 5 out of 5 for me. This is, if you're not reading Venom, you're just retarded. Let's go to Taser, who is actually reviewing another point book with Fear Itself Iron Man, Fear Itself 7.3 Iron Man, a.k.a. Iron Man number 510. What do you think of this issue, Taser?
I can sum this up in one line. Odin is a dick. There you go right there. Odin is a dick. Basically, this book is Tony Stark going to visit the Grey Gargoyle, who's been captured, and he's held in a special prison in some facility, because I forgot the name of it. And, you know, it's the aftermath of Grey Gargoyle turning, you know, a large segment of, you know, Paris, you know, the population to stone. Apparently having broken, a lot of them, you know, which effectively kills them. It's like, "You beast, how could you do it? You killed this city of light." And we kind of jump between Tony now, which is him and him with the, whatchamacallit, him visiting Gargoyle, and a few, you know, some time previous, with him trying to help with the cleanup and him encountering Odin, who shows up, and Tony, you know, takes out, you know, some of his frustration. You know what? Somebody needs to be able to bitch smack Odin. I'm sorry. I hate this version of Odin. Since his return in Thor, I don't like him. You know, this man is, now he's not even a tool. He's not even a jerk. He's not even a dick. He's an ass. If he was an asshole, I'd like him. He's not even an asshole. He's an ass. And, you know, Tony, yeah, understandably, you know, and it's not the smartest move, but, you know, he decides to go after Odin. Odin, you know, quite naturally, you know, puts him in his place, which was not as fast as he did it to Thor, which was more embarrassing, quite frankly. But, yeah, he does it to Tony here. And to show to show how big his celestial penis is, he actually lets him tap into the celestial scope of what it is to be a god. The nature of existence somewhat, you know, the scale. And, you know, Tony's kind of, you know, kind of like that whole thing, what happened to a Red Skull when he got his hands on the Cosmic Cube. You know, his mind opened up, and then it got taken. It was like, oh, how could you do that? And, you know, Tony's kind of affected. And that was back in the past. In the present, Tony is trying to resolve himself with not ending Grey Gargoyle, who's aware of Tony Stark being there. He can't do anything. He's just kind of floating in this bubble. And you get the idea that Tony is just looking for an excuse to end this man. I mean, he just wants to do something that just takes his ass out. And Grey Gargoyle just, you know, he basically puts his hands together in prayer form. Like, and, you know, Tony's just kind of taken aback, like, really? Oh, you, oh, you saw, oh, I can't believe this. And, you know, he stays his hand, of course, because it wouldn't do for Tony Stark to, you know, kill a prisoner. But I think part of what stays his hand is the result of what Odin had done, which after he, you know, pimp-smacked Tony with the whole mind enlightening thing, he takes and he reverses the effect of the people who have been turned to stone but weren't broken by Grey Gargoyle, and he brings them back to animated form, you know, back to life, you know, however you want to put it. So,
unpetrified.
Thank you. Actually, that fits it perfectly. Unpetrified. He performed a miracle, you know, which doesn't really help, because it, not in my book, because it's like, yeah, he showed up here and he did this, but this is the same guy that was willing to toss Earth away just because he was scared of his brother. You know, fuck him. Seriously. So, that's really what this book was about. This book was Tony resolving, you know, his feelings with what Gargoyle did with, and then showcasing, you know, a little bit of the aftermath of that whole Parisian thing. Interesting story. You know, I didn't read Thunderbolts or whatever, because I think that's where a lot of this took place in.
Well, it took place in Iron Man.
Iron Man. The Juggernaut thing was in Thunderbolts, right?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't read that, so this is kind of like, oh, okay. Not a good story. You know, I like this better than I liked Hulk. You know, I'm still not going to pick up Iron Man because I'm not interested in reading it. But I give this, you know what, I got to do it. I'm going to give it a 4. I'm going to give it a 4 Warriors out of 5, even though it's, you know, a tail end to Fear Itself story. And as much as I really don't want to do it because I despise Fear Itself, I got to do it. This was actually a pretty decent, a pretty good story.
Fraction's been solid on the Iron Man, and so I'm looking forward to 5, 10, and more. So we're going to transfer from one Avenger to the next with Arnold. The Avengers lineup is revealed once again. Avengers number 19, what did you think of the issue?
First off, I have to question, with this issue, how many times within the last year or two have we had a who will be on the Avengers team now?
The thing
now?
Is about that, I don't think that's a fair criticism, because the Avengers have always had a historic reasons of change.
No,
maybe
that's fine. Yeah, they do, but they never made a fucking event out of it every single time they changed up their team.
No, you're right about that. But
because every time it's been done so far, there's been a fucking press conference for it.
They always have a press conference.
Every single time, when Hawkeye,
Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver, they had a press conference.
Yeah, and then they've changed the team various times since then, and they've never done it. We've had two Dark Avengers teams press conference. This Avengers team, the new Avengers, because that's come out of all of this Fear Itself stuff. We had a press conference with them. We had this after the whole Dark Reign, like
because Tony it's kind Stark of been, says Norman Osborn it, loves PR.
That's fine, but it gets overdone. It's yet just another issue of us going to, well, who haven't we gone to join the team, to ask to join the team yet, or who won't turn us down anymore? So we started off going from Black Panther, and Black Panther said that he can't do it because he's still got some stuff to deal with, although I don't know how much stuff he's got left to deal with since his book's getting canceled. Oh!
I was disappointed. I wanted Black Panther back on the Avengers.
So, he suggests Storm, so that's how Storm ends up on the team. So we've now got two X-Men on the regular Avengers and one other X-Men on the Secret Avengers.
Well, I don't think Wolverine is going to be on this team for much longer, from what I've heard.
Please, they'll bring him in whenever it's necessary, whenever you need a guy to just have some unnecessary brutality. Oh, look, Wolverine's here.
Yeah, despite the fact that he's, headmaster of a new school and everything else like that.
Which is why I don't think he'll be on this team.
That won't stop him.
Yeah, I don't think it will.
Stuff like that's never stopped him before.
I don't think he'll be, I think he'll be a new Avengers, but not this book. But
that aside, it was an interesting issue. It was cool to see some of the people that they picked. Art, I know we've had some Acuna work before in Avengers, or maybe even in New Avengers, I think it was.
He did Schism, that issue 3 of Schism earlier.
Yeah, it's his art. I don't know if it's even hit or miss. I think a lot more often it's miss. I'm pretty sure I made this same criticism when we were doing New Avengers, but I don't know if it's weird to say. You can tell in comics when you're reading, obviously, with the way art's done. You can tell if something's flowing or not without having to be told. It looks like the way he draws people's hair is the same way hair is in animation. Like, it doesn't move. Everybody's hair is just gelled into that one spot, and that's it. Minor criticism, especially when he draws Spider-Woman. Spider-Woman's got this big whole dome, like, 70s music performer thing going on. It's so crazy, and sometimes it really just does take me out of the story because I'm focusing on it. I'm like, oh, why does so-and-so look like this and so-and-so look like that? It's not terrible. It's just not really one of my particular favorites. It's little things like that, I guess, that kind of wreck me. Even on some of the men, like Tony Stark and, Cap, it just looks, everybody's hair is just oiled in that one position, and that's it. But it does, at the same time, still have that nice kind of old-school classic feel to it. It's not as heavy lines. It's kind of muted, so to speak. But all in all, it was just another team building. Let's see who's going to join us. And then, we're all going after Norman Osborn, who has escaped, as we know, and is rejoined with Hammer and AIM. And he actually shows up at their press conference saying that he was wrongfully detained in federal prison, didn't get a trial, et cetera, et cetera. So,
and he got punched for that, didn't he? Shit stomped, he got fucked up something?
I think so. Well, it was during the whole Siege War, so.
No, I'm talking about in the press conference.
He showed up and...
Oh, no, yeah, the issue just ends with him showing up, literally pointing fingers, and, I'm here to rectify that, and it ends.
Okay, Avengers 20 is when we see him get, rectally reamed out by everybody present.
I guess so.
Well, the next cover shows Hydra agents, but they're hulked out.
Hydra agents. So I'm sure the next issue will pick up from this press conference, though.
I'm reading that next issue. That'll be the book I review, because if anything else other than Norman Osborn getting fucked up happens, I will not be
in front of a whole bunch of cameras. If it does happen. But so now our team consists of, real quick before we go, team consists of Hulk. Red Hulk, sorry. The Protector, also, Mar-Vell or Novar, whichever one he is, I always forget. Hawkeye. Oh, minor side note, I forgot to bring this up, but it was kind of just glossed over, so maybe that's why. The original Vision is back.
Woohoo! Not the
Tony Stark has been tinkering away in secret. And finally figured out, and hit the right button or found the right code, and the rest of Vision started kind of self-repairing itself. So it's all back together, but doesn't remember or has no clue, obviously, of anything that has happened since he has been dead, which is pretty much, I'm sure, when Avengers Town was blown up, right?
The last time we saw him, literally ripped in half in Avengers Disassembled.
Right, that's what I mean. Okay, so right before Avengers blew up and Wanda went batshit crazy. So that's quite some time ago. So he's got quite a lot of ground to cover. Yeah, but again, the issue kind of just glossed over it, almost like, oh, hey, look who's here. Look who I finally was able to patch up amongst all of this. It's Vision. Awesome. So yeah, I guess that's kind of cool. I'll see if anything even comes from it or if he's just there for the sake of being there. We have Spider-Woman, Captain America, Iron Man, Maria Hill, correct?
No, that's Daisy Johnson, aka Daisy Quake. They look alike, which is bad.
Yeah, they do. as previously stated, Storm. So quite an interesting team of Avengers. And actually, you know, you're kind of right. Wolverine isn't in the press conference.
Yeah,
of,
neither is Spider-Man, so I don't...
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe they're just there for whatever reason.
Well, remember, Avengers Tower got blown the fuck up, so they're all...
That's true.
So, like, they got no place to go.
And him and Wolverine did have that conversation, like, oh, what's going to happen to us? And they're like, well, they've already got their spider guy and their mutant guy or something to that nature. So.
They filled that quota.
But it was a cool issue. All in all, it's kind of middle of the road for me. I'll give it a 3 out of 5. All
right, since Spider-Lantern, we're going to answer your questions. Since Art already gave your thoughts... Taser, what do you think of this current Avengers lineup as presented?
I don't know. I'm gonna have to read that one, and I'll have to give my opinions of that like next show.
All right.
I really need to take a look at it.
All right, I think it's an interesting team. I think adding Storm brings a different kind of element. I mean, at one point in time, especially in the 90s, she was one of the more famous known characters for Marvel Comics. But ever since she got married to Black Panther, she's pretty much been under a rock. She hasn't done anything interesting to my knowledge. So
she's a married woman. What was the last thing Invisible Woman did?
Kicked Wolverine's ass.
How long ago?
A year ago. I can't remember. Either way, I'm bullshitting. Either way, I'm excited to see Storm in the Avengers because she doesn't get enough in the X-Men world, so why not use her in the Avengers world? Plus, I like the
she
fact
doesn't
that...
get enough in the Avengers world. She's unsatisfied.
Yeah, well, yeah, Black Panther's too busy slumming it up in Hell's Kitchen. Anyways.
Oh!
And that's going to end our episode because Arnold is late to The Walking Dead. If you want to write us, write us at thewarriors3@gmail.com. If you want to, Twitter.com/CPCast. Arnold has our Facebook going on. Also, West, suck it hard.
Woo-hoo!
Taser, do you have anything to listen, to plug? Yeah.
Yes. How dare West fool us like that with that thread where he was supposed to come out and then renege on coming out.
I'm so upset I missed that threat. Hurt.
I am so shocked that he tried to play us like that. Shame on you.
I'm
shame
mad.
On you.
That thread opened and closed the entire time I was asleep. So upset.
And Arnold, anything for you, anything special you want to talk tonight?
No, but I think from now until the book eventually doesn't sell enough and gets canceled, I'm going to constantly bring up the fact that the new Scarlet Spider resides in Texas. I'm going to bring it up every episode. So this Marvel begins that. Fans, if I forget any episode, let me know. I will do it twice the episode after. But I'll do it twice now. Scarlet Spider lives in Texas.
Hold on. One last thing. Did anybody happen to catch the Thor Tales of Asgard today? Because it was on Disney XD.
I'd seen it already, but I didn't watch it today, but I saw it.
I had no idea. Okay. I was too busy slashing as a fairy boy. Take that as you will.
Sounds like what some people I know call Saturday.
Oh!
Well, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, that's going to conclude our episode. Tune in next week. Well, actually, you know what? Next week's Thanksgiving. We're going to take a week off. Enjoy your turkey. See y'all
Turkey Day! Woo-hoo!